Welcome. It is good to be gathered together this afternoon in this way. The purpose of this service is more than anything else just a bit of a time of thanksgiving to God as we look to the past and as we look to the future and trust Him to guide us as we on this journey of life. In putting together a program like this, I'd take very little credit for it. The suggestions mainly came from other sources. And so I want to thank Paul Yoder in particular and Linda Miller, who have invested a good bit of time, as well as her sister Miriam and Brother David had laid out in some of the meetings earlier. And I want to thank each one for the part that they have played. We should just mention that the displays that are currently still up will be coming down, I believe, after today. And so take the time that you'd like to browse and to look at the variety of artifacts that remain from these past 50 years. It is about 50 years ago now, a little over, I guess. Am I right? Was it October of, or was it September of 59? Pardon me? November of 59. I'm sorry, someone didn't. Okay. Well, it was close to. It was right around 50 years ago that a young church, I should maybe not say it, the relatively youthful yet. I think at least most of them would have been. I think my father would have been among that number. I considered him, of course, to be an aged man at that time, but was probably younger than what I am today. began meeting here, and over the years there have been, the Lord has certainly blessed us with in many ways, and so some of you are here today that have worshipped here in the past and worship elsewhere today. Someone suggested, and I like the idea, that perhaps at the beginning here we would just have all those who were charter members of the church here in here at Center back in 1959. Would you please stand? Well, thank you. I guess all of you would have been a good bit. You may be seated. All of you would have been a good bit younger if it was 50 years ago, because that would make you 107 if you were as old as I am today. I want to also recognize that there are some people around who keep things. And I keep things, but sometimes it's the wrong things for too long. But we were fortunate that Orpha Miller, Mrs. Harry Miller, kept a copy of the dedication service. And on that copy, she made some notes about the service. And among those notes was the songs that we sang. Henry Schrock led the singing at the dedication service, and he chose those songs. He said when he looked at those, he says, those would have been the songs I would have chosen. That's pretty good to think that you'd remember that for 50 years. But we've decided to just take a little bit of a trip back into the past and have Brother Henry lead our singing today out of the Church and Sunday School hymnal. Do you have those hymnals ready to pass out? Do you have them?
Raise your hands.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Go ahead and. I think we'll just pass out hymnals. How would that be? Maybe you should raise your hand if you don't need one. Well, good. We do have. There is a good sprinkling here of people that have them. The program also indicated that Brother Amos led us in the Litany of Dedication. In those days, I would have remembered that it was Harry Diener, but that was because I was probably only 7 years old at the time, and I thought that I remember Harry Diener being up front, or at least he was a guest here. according to the notes that that Orpha left. And I do remember the one thing that I thought we said very often that day was, "We dedicate this building." And I think it was only a dozen times or so. But Amos led us in that. And so we are asking Amos to then lead us in some responsive reading. You have copies of that will be that we will be using to for the responsive reading. Brother Marv, could I have a couple? Just make it. If you got two, is all. If you got three, is all. I do have one other question that some of you can perhaps answer, but I look at this group of people that gathered here, and the church house is not full. Is this about the size of the congregation that would meet at those early days? Can someone tell me? Well, I knew we had some room to grow yet, and so I'm assuming that this may have been about the size. And I am blessed to see as many charter members here. I wonder now, could those of you who were in the first baptismal class raise your hand, or stand? Just stand so we can see who you were. Okay, we have four here, right? I think so. Thank you. So it is good to be gathered this way. This time we'll have Brother Henry come and lead us then in three numbers of song. Following that, Brother Gary will lead us in a meditation. Brother Henry.
For the first song, let us sing 413. Before Jehovah's awful throne, nations bow with sacred joy. Know that the Lord is God alone. He can create and He His sovereign power without our aid made us of clay and formed us men. And when like wandering sheep we stray, He brought us to fold again. We are His people, we His care, our souls and all our mortal frame. What lasting honors shall we Almighty Maker to Thy name? We'll crowd Thy gates with thankful songs, high as the hymns our voices Thy love firm.
22. The Lord is King, lift up thy voice, O earth and all ye heavens rejoice, from world to world the joy shall ring. This evening or this afternoon. In thy holy place we bow, perfume sweet to rise, while our golden censers grow with the fire of sacrifice. Saints, low bending, prayers ascending, Spirit light. life and truth, for man is found a light pervading, never fading light, lighting all the world around. On thy holy bread we feed, hunger never more to know. Thou suppliest all our need, Father.
Celebrate these 50 years together, I had understood that I'm supposed to especially focus my thoughts on history and on celebrating the blessings of the Lord, and so I will aim that direction. Quoting from Psalm 107, verse 8, "Praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." 50 years ago, I was a child, and yet I was old enough to catch the movement, to understand something of the vision that my parents and the church here had. And so I give the Lord glory for the good things that I've experienced as I was nurtured and reared as a child and beyond. I wrote down 12 things that I believe have been blessings, the wonderful part of the wonderful works that I've been blessed with in growing up here. The Center AM Church, here we were privileged to, 1, learn about Jesus in Sunday school and other parts of the church's program. And, of course, there are different aspects of the statement here, but Sunday schools were new at that time. So Sunday school is part of my heritage, and it's given me and my generation and beyond a richer understanding of Scripture than would otherwise be possible. We hear of young people of our churches going away to school, even Christian schools, and they discover that there are a lot of people that name the name of Christ that are not really very knowledgeable in scriptures and facts of scripture, geography, scriptural geography, names, and so on, just the whole gamut, that there is quite a gap. And I just praise the Lord that I have been part of a congregation that has valued the Sunday school. We've learned about Jesus. I remember well in 1963, I think it was December the 12th, I was sitting in the second row over here. It was a different set of benches. But in the second row, about two or three people over in that row, and I remember that that Brother Eli Utsi was preaching a series of revival meetings. And that night as the invitation song was sung, it was, "As you are, just as you are, come to Jesus, come today." I remember waiting till the second stanza was done, and we were just starting that second refrain. And as we sang, "Just as you are, just as you are," that I gave up and came forward. It was a blessing to share in that time of commitment. Notice I would remember that there may have been a dozen or more that night that came forward from the community, some from other churches, in fact, that came forward to commit their hearts to the Lord, our hearts individually to the Lord. And it was because Jesus was preached. Now, the phenomenon was partly expanded because there hadn't been regular revival meetings either. And so I would have been in that second instruction class. I believe it was also a pretty good-sized one. And so I praise the Lord for that kind of nurturing and Bible consciousness and teaching. We were privileged to learn about Jesus in my growing up years. And we were privileged here in this church to discuss the Bible. We've had discussion as part of our heritage. We discuss the scriptures and topical presentations on Wednesday evenings and Sunday in our Sunday school classes and historically in the general discussion. We have learned to discuss, and it's a strength of this community. And it's something that's been provided by others who set it up that way. Related to that, we were privileged to discover the art of discussing ideas without becoming personally offensive. I remember only a few exceptions to this. I remember it was always a time of unease for a youngster to hear adults go after each other, or go after each other's ideas more accurately. But there were a few times that I noticed that there was some heat to the discussion. But you know what I treasure, the plus that I see, is that almost without exception that we learned the art or discovered the art of discussing ideas without becoming personally offensive. And along with that, we learned how to speak and teach. This setting gave a rotation of chances to do that kind of thing. And to add to that, even as Amos told us the little story of how it was when he went to CPS, we learned to pray. And so that, while it can be scary, that is a fear that can be overcome. And in this church, we were blessed with opportunities to exercise that and to learn that, even as it could be further developed elsewhere perhaps as well. The fifth one is, we were privileged here to choose to establish our homes and to bring our spouses, in many cases, to live here. It was a good place. It is a good place to live. We know that anywhere that God leads us is God's country, but this has been a good place for us to establish our homes and to live our faith and to raise our children. We were privileged here to treasure the leadership of godly men. I could add women too, but right now I'm thinking about the man's role of leadership, and I'm thinking about laity, and I'm thinking about leaders, the ministers. We have been richly blessed here to have men who lead. I speak from my youthful memories, to have Amos in his kind way lead the church, to have David in his teaching and prophetic gifts teach us, challenging us to understand the scriptures, and Willie Wagler with his exhorter's gift and his storytelling gift. No wonder if he did that he became a favorite preacher of youngsters. Sometimes he'd kind of stop a sentence mid-stride and start and say, "Well," and you knew a story was about to break out, and now it was really time, interesting time to listen for a youngster. And Malin Wagler, who didn't exercise so much publicly, but helped tend to the church in a deacon's role, and I never learned to know him better Then after I was serving on the Mission Interest Committee, where he had served for 30-some years before that, and we would attend meetings together. Particularly, I remember annually going to Hillcrest Home, and the hours that would go fast and the miles would speed by because of his storytelling abilities. So there were various gifts that blended together that the Lord provided for the blessing for the church. And not only that, but the laity. I talked about the memories I have of learning to discuss ideas and all. I just honor these men that are now seniors for how they have set the tone, how they have learned to live, and how they were sincere, how they left for us a godly example, and how they worked together. I remember that when our son Ken got married, his wife was from Cedar Crest, and they had good reasons to go to Center or to Cedar Crest, and maybe even a few interests could have gone, could have made some other choices. But I remember one thing that he said when they did decide to attend here. He said, "I weighed in what I thought was the tenor of the older, mature men here, what their goals were, what their attitudes were, and it just was kind of the final thing that drew them to choose to attend here here for the early part of their marriage until they volunteered to go to Colorado, and not knowing then what would become more permanent. I treasure the leadership of godly men. We were privileged here to share leaders with others. I remember how Amos would go to help at Woodlawn and Salem and Leon, Iowa, and Shady Lawn in Mount View, Arkansas. And there were others, I'm sure. And more recently, we've shared with Perkins, and now very recently, beginning in Thomas. So we've had a history of sharing leaders with other communities and other churches. And it always comes at a little cost, but I believe that most of us could say together that it's an enriching experience for us when we share. Now, we don't mean by that we carelessly leave the flock here, but that surely somehow, with a team of leaders, that when we share, others can carry on, and let's help each other carry on here and not neglect the things that are here. I think we were privileged through the years with those kinds of things. I remember the times how I felt privileged when I went to youth fellowship meetings and the discussion was up about starting a publication board, or there was some announcement about it. And I realized that one of our ministers was involved in that. And I remember also hearing the announcements about Calvary Bible School and realizing and being pleased that our preacher, Willie Wagler, was quite involved with leading that, and David L. also for many years as well, for that matter. So I had the feeling, that engenders sense of security. You notice a vision. You notice there's a willingness to serve and there's a willingness to lead. That is healthy and good for young people. It was for me. And we could also add that some of us would remember the formation of Choice Books of Kansas and Pilgrim Schools and other things that have been happening here through the leadership of both laity and leaders. We were privileged, in my experience here, to grow in biblical celebration and practice of communion. You know, I observe in the Christian church, especially the conservative church, that sometimes communion is used as a form of discipline. And from the scriptures, I think we have noticed and learned to focus more that communion is a worship, a time of worship, a time of gathering, a time of celebrating the love of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ, and to recognize that while the body deserves discipline and while the body needs to cultivate accountability, that there are other ways that are better ways, I believe, than to tie it in somehow into the communion preparation and commemoration. We were privileged here to establish daughter congregations, and we can mention Cedar Crest and Arlington and Cornerstone, even though we don't have equal, they're not all equal stories, but we were privileged to lead out and or assist in these congregations, congregational developments. That's a function of being around for 50 years, I'm sure. And 50 years isn't that long. It may seem like a while, and it is. But there are churches, of course, across the country that would have lasted for hundreds of years. And we're just still a young pup, as David, as Amos would tend to say, in relative terms. And we were privileged here to impact many people through the migration of our members around the country and around the world. When you stop to think about all of the people that have gone in and out amongst us here, and to think about all those that have scattered out around the world, it is too much for me to comprehend. But that covers, that touches many countries and many continents, in fact. And we say this to the glory of God. Praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And then we've also had kind of this one has both the plus and the minus. This is my last one. We were privileged to experience the joys and sorrows of integrating children and others into the church. The joys are to bring any seeker into fellowship. The sorrows are when we part ways because somehow we couldn't satisfy or meet the needs. And I just want to recognize that. I think it's part of our story, and we should be recognizing that. Together with a time or two that I feel that administratively I helped in error, in disciplining some, with a strong enough measure that I think, in retrospect, while it was well-intentioned, I believe, in retrospect, I think it was it would have been better to have found other ways to warn and to nurture than to be so final with an excommunication in a few cases. Well, we were privileged a lot of things, and I don't know if I've put you all to sleep or not, but I say these things to the glory of God, and I pause to ask you if you've got anything that you would like to say as a way of personal addition to this list, celebration, what we've done and what God has done in our midst. I know I didn't warn you, and it's okay, but if someone has something that this reminds you of, I give you that opportunity. Well, now I'm going to give you some other opportunity if you're not coming quickly to answer that question. I'm going to ask you something similar to what David started us on. We've had the charter members all stand. Now I wonder if you can remember. I can remember that I was baptized in the 60s. Can you remember if you were baptized in the 70s or 80s or 90s, or you joined the church either way in the 90s or the 2000s or any of those? I'd just like to see, just from this audience here, who of you would you stand if you were baptized or joined the church in the 60s. Okay. Thank you. And who of you would have been baptized or joined the church in the 70s? Okay. Thank you. And those of you that were baptized or joined the church in the 80s? Okay. Very good. And the 90s. Very good. And those this decade. Yes, there are some. Thank you. All right. Almost even here, and I wonder if we couldn't have had, if we'd have all been here, if we couldn't have had a few more yet in some of these last years. Now, another little question that I think might be a little bit interesting, I'm curious how this will divide. I think that we'll all stand one way or the other, if I've got this, if I divide it this way. But how many of us would you stand if you followed your parents' decision to be part of this church? Maybe you made that. Maybe I should add, you made this decision before you were 18 years of age, and your parents were here. How many of you joined this church, either by baptism or otherwise, because your parents, you followed your parents here? Would you stand? Okay. Looks like, thank you. And now those of you, I know some of you charter members are going to possibly split on this question, so wherever, it's fine with me. Now, how many of you joined this church, either by baptism or otherwise, of an individual choice, independent of your parents? Would you stand? Thank you. That's the smaller number. And I see that probably that is, well, anyhow, I found that find that interesting. Now I'd like to think a little bit about the former and current leaders, deacons and teachers, and a few things like this. I've already alluded to the four preachers that pretty much founded the church, although Malin was ordained just after this church was formed. So it was Willie and Malin Wagler, and Amos Nisley, and David L. Miller. And of the number of the preachers that have served here now, there are already three that have gone on to be with the Lord. If I've got it right, it would be Willie and Malin Wagler and Ed Yoder. And then for those that were ordained here in order of ordination, and actually, this strains it a little bit. But those who were ordained and served here, because some of you were ordained before the formation of the church. But it'd be Amos, David L., then Daniel Nisley, then Paul Miller and myself, the same ordination, then David Yoder and Ronald Miller, Laverne Miller, and Julian Nisley. And Daniel and Ronald both were ordained here to serve here, and then both served elsewhere. Daniel moved after several years, was it about 5 or 6 years, to Hillcrest Home, Harrison, Arkansas, and was there for 15 years or so? 12 years. And then Ronald, as you know, was served here a couple or 3 years, and then was assigned to or led the group at Cornerstone in Labette County. And so we've got a little growing list there. Now, there were ministers that were ordained elsewhere and moved here, and that includes Oren and Ed, who served here on a trial basis and then were accepted in ministry here. And then I don't know how to get this list complete, but those who grew up here or were members here and moved away and ordained, I have started a little list and didn't get very exhaustive at all. I thought of Abe Yoder, Glenn Yoder, Maynard Nisley, Irvin Ray Stutzman, Sam Nisley, Earl Nisley, Philip Nisley, and I'm pretty sure you can help me. Henry Schrock, Daniel Miller, Calvin Yoder. Who? Ken Miller, yes, okay. Jerry Yoder. Merlin Miller. Verlin, yeah, there's a couple of them. There's a Merlin, too. Yes?
I was born in 1935 in Oklahoma.
1935, and that is 70-some years ago. And you're still keeping on. Praise the Lord. Has anybody been baptized and lived with the Lord longer than that, served the Lord longer than that in the church? All right. Well, I'm pretty sure we didn't exhaust that list. Was there another one ready to pop? Okay. Well, I think of Paul Yoder being licensed for missions, and I'm sure there are others in that list too. So praise the Lord for that.
Stan Nisley.
Stan Nisley, yes, indeed. Who, Arthur Nisley, yes? Yes, thank you.
Daryl
Nisley.
Was it said Stan Nisley or Stan Nisley?
Stan. Yeah, I had mentioned him. All right, that's enough of that. All who currently serve in vocational missions, voluntary service, or teaching ministry away from here would include, and I think I'm pretty fairly nearly complete here, unless there might be some singles that I missed, Misael and Regina, Shane and Dorcas, Craig and Rachel, Glenda Miller, Ellis and Lenita, Loyal Miller, Arthur and Lillian Nisley, Matthew Nisley, Dr. Jana, Melody, Heather Nisley, Rachel, Marietta, and Frida Yoder, Rosine Yoder, and Sarah Yutzi. Is there somebody else I'm overlooking here? And these are currently gone.
Brian,
well, I was going to mention him in a little different list. Okay, Ella Nisley and Brian Shank I put in a little different list because they're serving, well, Ella's serving, but it's not quite this in this other list, and Brian Shank is a student. Now I'm going to ask you, well, maybe I should ask, is there another hand, another nomination that I have missed? Yes.
Tanya Yoder.
Tanya Yoder, yes, okay. She's a little bit like Brian, short-term student in on foreign soil. All right, and now I'd just like to ask for all of you that have served away from home, might have been school teaching, or it might have been some VS unit or other form of missions at any time in these past 50 years, would you stand, please? Wow. Thank you. Thank you, each one. You may be seated. Today we have local teachers right here, Miriam Iwashige, Betty Yoder, Janice Yoder, Kathy Taylor, Carla Miller, Hilda Iwashige, Daryl Bontrager, Norma Miller, and Andrea Mast. So that's quite a list. Let's see here. I might I also have to acknowledge that here right in the audience we have Wesley Schrock, and I admit I was focused in on my Center Church membership list when I made the list, but thank you very much for serving. And maybe I'm overlooking somebody else that's somehow involved. Let's see, Paul Miller is involved too on a single class or so, and I might even now be missing somebody. Copeland teacher, Melody Nisley, yes, Loyal had been mentioned, and that was in the other list. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, though. now I just wonder, in the same vein, all of you who are teaching or have taught in the past in Christian Day schools, would you stand, please? All right. Thank you very much. Oh, some more could be said. This took me a little longer than I was expecting it to, but my heart is in celebrating what God has done. And I was going to talk about local prison ministry teachers. I guess I'll mention a few of you, Titus, Harvey, Perry, and Lauren. I'm sure there are others that have helped too, present and past Bob Johnson teachers. And then there are those that are in nursing and nurse aides, those that are even in training. Would those of you that I've just mentioned, either teaching at Bob Johnson or prison ministry or nursing, would you stand, please?
And, you
That includes you, yes. Those that have, that's right. Thank you, Dad. Well, thank you very much. Now, where do you draw the line? Because all the rest of you have done something, served on trustee boards or done something else, right? I just don't know where to start and stop exactly here, because there's so much that goes into making the church function. Some of you have often been on the recording committee, or often been librarian, or often something else. And that's just as important as all the things that I focused in on here in the beginning. We know that except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And all the things that are praiseworthy in this, in our experience, and even in this celebration, are because the Lord has helped us in it. My lines have fallen in pleasant places, and I celebrate that, and I thank each of you who have helped make this a wonderful place to live and grow and serve.
Thank you, Gary. That was very, very helpful. Brother Amos, would you come forward at this time? And while he's coming, I'd just like to... One of the things that I especially like about this gathering is that it involves people who in some way or another have their roots here and were strong contributors here at Sander before you went elsewhere. And we just want to thank you for your presence among us. Brother Amos, just come right on up. Brother Amos is going to now lead us in some responsive reading. You've got the pages, you got the script there in your hand. Brother Amos.
Now, should I misread something here, you're going to have to cut me a little slack. I appreciate this congregation, and I look back, and something that I'm very, very happy about, and that is that my dad and my stepmom were supportive all the way across. And I just want to affirm this by some of the things that went on. But we had a really good stepmom and a dad that really cared also. In fact, this might not be new to some of you, but maybe to some it would be. But Dad was one of the song leaders way back there when I was just a young fellow. And I just... appreciate so much that I had parents that supported us in the many times when Mom was stuck with the family at home and I was out somewhere else. And I want one thing of you, please. Give God the glory and not my wife's husband. And I thank you for it. I look back and I see some things that might have been different. But so many of you have been so supportive. And I don't know where to start or to stop on it, I guess. If I don't start, I won't have to stop. But you've been great people to work with. And I want the Lord to have all the glory for any good thing that has ever happened when my wife's husband was away from home. And now, the reading. And if I don't come out the right spot, will you help me on it, will you? This is Revelation 4:10. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat upon the throne and worshipped him that lived forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying,
"Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created."
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying,
"Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests,
And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, and beasts and elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice,
"Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing."
And every creature which is in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying,
"Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever."
And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying,
"Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb."
And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders of their and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying,
"Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen."
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me,
"These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes."
And which testified these things saith, "Surely I come quickly. Amen."
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
I would like to just make a few remarks. Hopefully we can keep it at that. As I look back at the ordination, Alvin Helmuth was ordained just about 1 week before I was the first time. But something took place before my ordination that it needed to be. I wonder how many of you remember Joe Hershkovitz, the converted Jew. Raise your hand. Thank you. We have quite a few of you out there that remember him also. But I remember as I hope I was almost average or pretty near it, I think. But there was some of those things that we kind of dread or feared. But I heard an audible voice when I was young that you may be a minister someday, and I'll tell you, I did not want any part of that. I was never the best scholar in school, and I got by whatever. And then later on, I heard this voice that I may be in the ministry someday, and the Lord had to spank me somewhat. And it was at, and I think it was back in 52, if I'm not wrong on that. We had Joe Hershkovitz was the converted Jew's name that spoke down here. How many remember Joe Hershkovitz that he preached down here at Jonas Ellen's house? Oh, quite a few of you do. Well, anyhow, That night, Joe Herskovitz gave an invitation, and I'll tell you, I was so broke up I could hardly talk at all. And then he told me, he said, he said this to whoever raised their hand. I don't know, maybe some of you out there did too. So I raised my hand, and that night, as I went down to the basement, we married November the 8th, and then this took place in February of 52. Am I right, Ann? Anyway, and then he said, there now may be somebody out there that's not able to pray the Lord's will. I was just looking right down my throat. I cried like a baby. And that night was one of the great nights for me. I raised my hand, and my new wife of only a few months was already down the basement. And he said, come on down the basement. We want to talk with those of you that raised your hand. And I went down the basement, and I settled it all that night. And I'm not going to try to tell you that I did a perfect job of everything. I don't mean that. But the Lord took care of a lot of my fears and some of the realities I experienced since that and all. But I'd like to say this. I know there were a number of times that I was away from the family. But I had a responsible wife that was able to help take care and the children chored. And here I was wherever. And I'm not going to try to tell you how much and how, but God is faithful. He has promised. And I'd like for any one of you that are having a problem along that line, give the Lord a chance. See what he'll do for you. Don't go begging too much. But I want to tell you, God has been so faithful, and so I just can't thank God enough. And I had the blessing of a dad and a stepmom that stood right with us. They didn't take us to church. We took them to church. And this was such a blessing, especially in my ministry. And I know that things should have been better at times, but I want to say one thing. Trust the Lord, and he'll lead you if you are leadable. Pardon me. But the Lord had to somewhat spank me to get me to realize that I'm not in charge, that he was. And you, dear ministers that have helped weather the storms, thank you and thank God. And just pray, let's not give up. Let's go on and be what the Lord wants us to be. Thank you.
Come ahead, Brother David. Brother David will now lead us in a brief time of prayer, and then I will have some closing remarks, and we'll have two more songs after that.
It's obvious that we haven't learned to budget our time very carefully, but I'm assuming it isn't quite milking time yet. I was blessed to review some of these things, and there was some review of where the people from here are serving and where they have served, and I think that is can be a real encouragement. There is, however, no way to measure that against what might have been or could have been. And so let's not assume that we have arrived and that there's no new frontiers to go after. I'm not sure if that is very well chosen. I did want to say a little bit something of what Gary said. He referred to Sunday school as being a new thing when our church started. Well, actually, it was here a long time before I was born. It was reorganized somewhat after our church started, and I do value the Sunday school a great deal in terms of what it can do and is doing for our people. If you take Mennonite Weekly Review, there is an editorial in the current issue that is pertinent to some of this discussion. And in spite of the way the situation is, Hessen College will tell you, Marion von Trigger will tell you, that the students who come are biblically pretty illiterate. And this editorial refers to that in this way. It says, the youngsters who come to Heston College will know Bible stories, but they don't know where they fit in and where they fit together. And so Heston College is making an intentional effort to try to help students along that line. We wonder, well, how can this be? These people are advanced. They're sophisticated. They've had Sunday school a long time. Well, there's really no alternative to sitting around the Word of God and allowing the Lord to speak to us, and I say collectively. That's much better than when the Sunday school teacher feels like he or she is supposed to do all the talking. You see, the Lord can do much more with a body of us than any one of us by ourselves. I also thought of another thing that our discipline says, that is, we should regard our children as our foremost missionary charge. And so in all our outreach, let's not forget that the family is very, very basic. And sometimes, as we review that record, we wish sometimes it could be better. And so let's just be aware that the Lord has blessed abundantly, but let's not assume that the Lord could not have done better had we met the conditions. I think that is the part of reality, the part of humility. Something else I wanted to... kind of lost my train of thought, I guess. Anyhow, we go on from here. Brother David will be discussing some of that. And let's remember that the Christian isn't called necessarily to travel the most traveled road. And in our interest of reaching out and being effective, let's not forget that the road that leads home is a narrow road. There is room for people who are committed to the one who said that he can give life and give it more abundantly. And so, supposed to say a few things about prayer and having a little prayer service. I'm not sure how to best do this, but I am reminded of the verse that Jesus said, that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. That is a very strong promise. It's also very conditional. It assumes that we want his will, that his word is dominant and predominant in us. We also think of the verses in James 4 where the writer there gives recognition to the fact that sometimes there can be conflict and strife. And he said, why do these things happen? Isn't it because of the lust that war in your members? He goes on and says that you lust and you have not because you ask not. Prayerlessness can be a very serious problem. But he says furthermore that asking selfishly can also be a problem. You have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust. So let's let this time of celebration be a challenge, that we pray effectively, that we pray the Lord's will, and he is well able to keep his end of the bargain. I did want to just mention something a little more about this celebration. I think the midweek planners really deserve thanks for what they did to sort of put things in motion. And then as we went along, others became involved. Paul Yoder as much as anybody. And so it has grown quite a bit beyond what I would have planned if I would not have had that kind of help. So I don't know. Do things come to your mind that you think are especially thankworthy before we pray? Or maybe do things come to mind that you think that need need correction. It's true that the Lord didn't bless us because we were so worthy or so eligible. He blessed us because of his grace. And is it right to remember that probably because of our humanness and our failure, we could have been blessed even more? That makes sense? Would any one of you like to add a comment or a bring up something? If not, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Gracious Lord, you have been faithful, you have been gracious, and we are human. We often fail and come short. Pray that you would help us to see ourselves from your perspective. You would help us to fix our eyes on you, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and to lay aside every sin and every weight and the sin that has so easily beset us, and to run with patience the race that is set before us. We do pray that you would bless the middle-aged leaders and the younger men and all of us together, that we can be a body that is knit together in love, that has the same ideals and has the same goals for life and for eternal life. Help us to concentrate on things that are eternal and let the temporal things be secondary. Thank you for this gathering, and we pray that this would be an encouragement along the way. We just pray that you would lead us, everyone, into paths of righteousness for your great name's sake, and keep us unto eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David, and thanks to Gary and Amos for their parts, too. I've certainly enjoyed and appreciated this much. We told you we'd try to keep this service close to an hour long, and we're still going to try that. The remarks I'd like to make are going to be pretty basic. I was thinking what scripture might be appropriate at a time like this, I came to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like to read a few verses from there. Before I do that, one of the things that I am impressed with time and again is that I will catch myself saying that we find ourselves at a crossroad here at Center. And about the time I say that, I recognize that every day is a crossroad for me. Every day is a crossroad for every believer. And we are called upon, as we meet those crossroads, as we meet the decisions, we are called on to make the right decisions. And so it's not that we are something peculiar, that we are at a crossroads. And yet I think we do acknowledge that we are finding ourselves at a time in history where there is just a kind of pressure on believers, an unprecedented pressure to be pressed into the mold of the world. And the Lord would spare us taking the shape and the form of the world in ways that do not exemplify his kingdom. I'm going to read about five or six verses here, maybe seven, and then perhaps make just a few comments. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He's chiding the Corinthians a bit for the way that they were making one or the other of the apostles more important. I guess Apollos wasn't exactly an apostle, but he was a preacher of the gospel. And so there was some discussion going on about that. And Paul tells them that he planted, and then Apollos came along and watered. And here's what he says in the subsequent verses. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The solemn warning that this is to I about said a young minister like me, is that we are called upon to build on a foundation. And he says that we should be very careful what we build on that foundation. In verse 10, Paul says he laid a foundation, and of course that was Jesus Christ. And another buildeth thereon. I view what has happened here at Center very much. I'm going to say that the men that Gary referred to, Brother Amos, David, Willie, and Malin, were in large measure responsible for laying the foundation of what we know of as Center Church, and I would say as the Beachy churches here in the community. And there's others of us coming along and building on that foundation. The point that he makes is that we need to be careful how we build on that foundation and what we build on that foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You can understand that for someone with my responsibilities, that these are things that weigh heavily on us, because we recognize that the choices we make today do impact the future. Something that I have that I've come to feel recently or in the past months is that it's important that we build something that can be sustained throughout the generations to come. Each generation is going to have to make decisions that befit their time, the era that they are called to serve. But the thing that we cannot forget, the thing that we have to come back to, is who the foundation is. And that if we try to build on another foundation, it will amount to building with wood, hay, and stubble. But we're called upon to build on this foundation gold, silver, and precious stone. And this, my friends, is my prayer. The question I ask myself is, what am I building on the foundation that's been laid? And I yearn and earnestly desire your prayers that God can continue to bless the church here at Center as it exemplifies, as it honors its head, and as it exemplifies the kingdom that we have been called to serve. I really feel like I owe it to you to pause and ask for any comments that anyone would like to make. And these do not have to be center specific. These are comments that you may want to make of your own, especially those of you who don't worship here normally. Is there anyone? Sir Ollie. Yes, amen. Amen. Linda. Thank you, Linda, for that affirmation. And thank you to those of you who serve the community as singles. You are a blessing, and we do really value and appreciate your contribution. But more than that, we value you. Thank you.
Gary had made reference to some of the people that served in various capacities in church ministry. I thought in that list, food committees could have been mentioned as well.
Yes, I think that we owe special thanks to the food committee of today and those that helped. Thanks a lot. There is yet one announcement. Oh, yes, Perry.
Well, I thought we might hear something from the people that joined us recently, because they bring different experiences to our midst, which is a lesson to us, and I thought they might have something to share.
If I know how to do that without... If I know how to invite them without twisting arms, I'll just I would do that. And so I'd say if there are comments that anyone wants to make who is a I think it comes down as a Spanish term, and I don't know, that's recién llegado, but that doesn't really mean a lot to most of you. Who has recently come, well, feel free to make some comments with that, just for whatever that's, if you can. Perry would like to hear at least. Well, let me just say that thank you for being here. And we do very much value your presence. Well, one announcement yet before we have two final songs. The other two that we sang at the dedication is just this, that Brother Joel is offering that anyone who wants a digital copy of the slideshow that we were showing the other evening at church here should put your name on a list. And by the way, he has that slideshow running on his laptop in the overflow. If you decide you'd like to have that, just write your name down. And Joel, what more would you like to say about that? Do you?
Just a disclaimer that doesn't come with any great guarantees of timing, et cetera.
Okay. Okay.
More a solicitation of interest.
Very good. Don't expect it yesterday. Brother Henry, the time is yours.
Well, I've enjoyed this afternoon and learning some of the things that went on here while we lived elsewhere. We had been members of this church from its start, but many things have taken place while we were away. Now for songs to end our afternoon here. I think we'll sing number 29 first.
Glories known. Well, the
518, Church of God, whose green banners float along the glorious years, planting harvest rich and golden, sowed in poverty and tears. Onward press, the cross is bent, far toward the morning skies, speeding light and light o'ertending. Church of God, awake, arise. Church of God, awake, arise. Christ, your head and master Christ. Costly temples praying, let your kingdom come, we pray. Are but words of idle meaning if with these we turn away. Boundless wealth to you is given from owns it all, and the idol in heaven, what he rendered back for all. Church of God, awake, arise, Christ your head and master Christ. The earth and rend the heavens, wake the sleeping children, Lord, till the measure full and even has been rendered at thy word. Then from out her chrism of sorrow shall the earth redeemed arise, and the fair celestial morrow dawn with opal-tinted skies. Church of God, awake, arise, Christ your head and master's prize.
At the second song we sang, I saw a phrase that I'm sure I've sung many times. But the question asks, the Lord is King, who then shall dare resist his will, distrust his care, or murmur at his wise decrees, or doubt his royal promises? Certainly we serve a God that is worthy of all that we can possibly give. Ask Brother Paul Miller from the neighboring congregation to lead us in a closing prayer as we stand. Let us stand together.
as that early church said, that we have need of nothing. But we do see much reason to thank you and praise you for coming to us in our times of great need, and we just acknowledge that even this afternoon is such a time. We cannot go on our own strength. We will be sure to make mistakes if we go from this place thinking that we are capable in ourselves. We know that only as you guide us can we go aright, and can we be a blessing, and can we fulfill that for which you have placed us here. We thank you that we can build in such a way that gold and silver and precious stones remain. We just acknowledge that in our humanness much is there that does not seem to survive the tests of life. And Father, we just acknowledge that we stand in need of your grace and forgiveness, and just pray that as we look forward to the future, we can see what you have there for us, at least in a measure, enough for the next step, Lord. And as we place our hand in yours, we just give you glory and honor, and just commit ourselves to walking with you according to the best we understand your will. Father, we thank you for these that have been here a long time. We thank you also for those that have recently come. And may we just work together and pull together. And may we, as several congregations in this county, and the Cornerstone congregation too in Labette, Father, we just sense a kinship here that we want to cultivate and allow you to energize and make it a blessing for wherever we are. We pray, Father, that our relationship to each other may bring great glory to you. We thank you now that we can commit everything to you. Thank you for those who have so faithfully proclaimed the gospel in its power and purity in the past. And I pray that we can take that with us and remember that the old message is ever new when it comes through with the energy of your Spirit. So we give you glory, Father. We now just commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Shepherd, and the Captain of our salvation. Amen.